don't know. As they're making their way back to their families and actually also to Junior Church, lighting the Advent candles for the final time, yes, the Christmas season is over, but don't we celebrate the Christmas season all throughout the year? And so it is that we're going to light it one final time. I think we're going to light it one final time. Or maybe we're not. Not surprised I'm having technical difficulties, are you? Well, even though I can't light the candle, doesn't mean that it doesn't represent symbolically what we find in Christ, right? And so we have certainly been celebrating the Advent season through this Christmas season, and we have celebrated the themes of that Christmas and on the Christian calendar, the Advent season. We are reminded that through Christ, that certainly that we have hope, that through Christ we have peace, that through Christ we have joy, that through Christ we have the very love of God demonstrated toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because as we even shared during our candlelight Christmas Eve communion service, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. But as we went to our communion, we were reminded that He was born so that He could die for our sins, to provide salvation for us. And as we celebrated the Advent season, we're reminded that there is another Advent that is coming upon us. The first Advent was His first coming to the earth as a baby boy. The second coming is very different. It's going to be Christ's return to the earth. So the question we must ask ourselves, and I invite you to explore with me, is, are you ready for His return? I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. We'll be looking at that in just a moment. But as we think of the Advent season and the second coming of Christ and the fact that He will return, Jesus is indeed coming soon. We're reminded, for example, in Matthew 25, verse 13, that we're to watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is come. We do not know when Christ will return, but we must be ready. And once again, the question we pose today is a question we must all answer someday. Are we ready for His return? So I invite you back into Matthew chapter 25 as we look at the parable of the talents. It gives us insight to being prepared for the coming of the Lord. It is Jesus who gave this parable of the talents so long ago, with a powerful message for us to receive and to apply to our lives. Once again, join me in Matthew chapter 25. We'll begin in verse 14, and we'll continue from there till verse 30. It goes on to say in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called to his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground, and he hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Then he who had received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let us pray. Father, as we come upon this parable that is found in the Word of God, we just pray, oh, now that the Holy Spirit will help us, oh Lord, to receive the truths that are found in your word. Teach us by your mighty spirit the things of the Lord. Help us to receive from your word what applies to our life, and may we then respond in obedience to whatever you are calling us to do, however you are responding us to respond. May it honor and glorify you. We ask your blessing upon this time as we examine, we receive your word, as we look forward to applying it to our life. This we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I simply want to touch on 4 aspects of this parable that relate to the issue of being ready for Christ's return. The first issue that is addressed in this parable that we need to address in our own lives and take to heart, if you will, is a question of what are we doing with the resources that God has given us. In this parable, you see that the resource is illustrated by the talent. Now, this talent is a monetary type of measurement. It's a currency of that day and time. And so it was that they were given this resource by the master. The master gives this resource to the servants. And then as we look at that story, we're reminded that the Lord has given us resources as well, hasn't He? Think of it. At times, it might be a material, physical resources, monetary or material possessions. It might very well be that thing. But the question is, as He has given us those resources, how are we managing? Watch this. Not your money. Not my money. How are we managing, watch this, God's money? He is the master. It all belongs to Him. He has entrusted it to us. He has given us the resources. And so it might be physical, material, financial resources that He entrusts us with, but it very well might be spiritual resources as well that God has blessed us with. He has entrusted us with. He expects us to use it for His glory. Listen to what 1 Peter 4, verse 10 through 11 says about this very important matter. It goes on to say, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability with which God has supplied, that all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." In other words, God has given every believer resources and gifts and abilities and talents that He desires for you to use for His glory. And the question for you and for me is, how are we using the resources that God has given us? How are we using the resources that God has entrusted us? Are we doing it for His glory? Are we using it for our own purpose and our own pleasure? He has imparted them and gifted them to us to glorify Him, to bless others, and to bless His holy name. So one of the issues that is addressed is, how are we using the resources that God has given us? Then, we are then charged with the responsibility, once again, of using them. Notice that in this parable, the master goes away and gives the servants both, watch this, responsibility and authority. He has entrusted them to carry out his business and to use his resources. Some chose to invest wisely, while the one servant wasted the resource that he had been given. He literally hid it. But I remind you, if we're not careful, that we can do the same thing, can't we? God has blessed us with so much. He's entrusted us with so much. He has given us resources. He has given the responsibility to use those resources. He has given us the authority to use it in His name. But what if we bury the talent, if you will? What if we hide it? There's an old song talks about, hide our light under a bush. Oh, no, you can fill in the blanks. I'm going to let it shine. And so it is that He has entrusted us to be light to a lost and hurting world. He has entrusted us to be a blessing to others and to bring Him glory. That is our responsibility, and He has given us the authority to carry out His business. And so it is that we are challenged with the fact of using His resources wisely. It is an opportunity. It is a responsibility, a God-given opportunity, a God-given responsibility. And so the question that we must face is, are we going to be lazy with the resources God has given us, or are we going to utilize them? I'm reminded of a conversation that I had with a retired minister some time ago. It was many years ago before my time here at Calvary, in which I had the opportunity to serve at a church in Roanoke. And I remember that we were putting together an outreach, and we were so nervous and such. At least I was very nervous because I happened to be charged with leading it. And so I remember that I had a little bit of doubts about how the outreach would go, and would it be successful, and would anybody show up? I had all these concerns and such. And it was interesting to hear the response of that retired minister. Wise words. Because he said, I don't know if it's going to be successful or not. And I was like, oh my goodness, I don't want to hear that. But he said, that's not our job. Our job is to be faithful. And watch this. God doesn't bless laziness. I've often thought of those words from that retired minister, which I assume is probably with the Lord at this point. God doesn't bless laziness. May we take that to heart. He blesses faithfulness. And so it is that as He gives us the resources, it's from Him anyway. It is His talents and His gifts and the abilities that He has given us and entrusted us with. We're not responsible for the talents that for the talents that He has given us. Not the abilities, but the talents and abilities. We have a responsibility to use that and to be faithful. He will reward us for faithfulness. And so it is that we're reminded that from this parable we learn the lesson that God gives us resources. He gives us a responsibility to use these resources wisely as servants. And then also, we see an issue that is addressed in the aspect of readiness. Notice that as we look at that parable, we are reminded that He gives them the resources and then He takes off. And they don't know when He is going to return. But He gives them a task of being ready for His return. I'm reminded of the military and the term readiness. Anybody that's been in the military or is aware of the military world knows that readiness is a key term that is very important. And it has the idea of a unit being ready for an attack from the enemy at all times, or being ready to be deployed on mission. There are times, for example, where a military operation, there's no way of knowing when one would attack. There's also not always the knowledge of when the mission will take place and embark. But the term that is so important from the military perspective is that unit, that company, whatever it may be, is tasked with the importance of being ready for when that command goes out. They are to be on mission. And as the followers of Jesus Christ, we're reminded, don't we have a commander in chief? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He has given us His mission to carry out the Great Commission, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all the world. We are on mission for His glory. But we also don't know when His return will be. It is not our job to figure out what time it will be. There's many that do prophecy, and prophecy can be a good thing, but there's many that do prophecy simply to predict when Jesus is coming again. But I would say that prophecy can be a good thing, but utilized to make us ready for His return. You see, we're not in the business of predicting when Christ will return. We have the responsibility to be prepared for Christ's return in a state of readiness. And that's what we see in that parable, the talent. There were the good servants that were ready for the return of the master. And there was the one who was foolish and was not prepared, was not ready for His return. So once again, in this passage of the parable of the talents, we see the issue of resources that is given to us. We see that we have a great responsibility to use those resources. We understand that we are to be in a ready state. And then we finally see that there is a response that this parable teaches us. It's both a response from the servants, and notice it's also a response of the master. First, let's look at the servants. There is a response of the servants, both good and bad. There's a response of laziness versus fruitfulness. There is also a response of fearfulness from the wicked servant compared to faithfulness of the good servants. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are reminded that we are not to be fearful, but faithful and trusting God. It is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. It's the Apostle Paul, and he's instructing, he's encouraging Timothy to go ahead and move forward in his ministry. And goes on to say in this wonderful passage, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God," once again emphasizing that God had given Timothy, along with other believers in Christ, the gift, "which is in you through the laying of my hands." Watch this. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." So often as we look at situations and circumstances, even as followers of Jesus Christ, we are tempted to be fearful. But as we look at the faithful God and the love that He has for us, perfect love casts out fear. And so it is, as we have our eyes on our Savior rather than the situation, we can be filled. We can be filled with comfort. We can be filled with strength. We can be reminded that we have the very strength of Almighty God empowering us to do His work. And we can trust in Him. For great is His faithfulness. Lord God Almighty, followers of Christ, we're reminded your responsibility to have our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He will enable us. He will empower us. He will strengthen us. He will give us comfort. He will give us peace. He will give that perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, as we looked at just recently. Why? Because He is our help. He is our hope. He is our strength. We serve a faithful God. And He calls on us to trust in Him and to simply serve Him faithfully. So, followers of Christ, we have a responsibility to the Lord. As a parable reminds us, the Master is going to return. Jesus is coming soon. There's going to be a second advent. Jesus is coming again. And we need to be ready for that. Followers of Christ, we're responsible for how we live until the Master returns. Romans chapter 14 references the fact that there will be a day when we will give an account for our lives. In the story, we saw the parable of the talents, that each servant had to give an account for how they had used the talents they had been entrusted with. And so it is that followers of Jesus Christ, there is going to be a day and time in which we will give an account for the life in which we have lived. Certainly, we are not going to be perfect. But are we faithful to the calling God has given us? Are we ready for His return? Are we looking forward to that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming back as a conquering King? Are we ready? We will give an account, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3 goes on to remind us that we will be rewarded for what we have done for Christ, followers of Jesus Christ. All the things that were not done for Christ will be burned up. But all the things that are done for Christ, they shall be rewarded. Father of Jesus Christ, we will stand before Him someday. Do we want to be ashamed as that wicked servant was? Do we want to fail Him, or do we want to be faithful to Him? Not perfect, but faithful. He honors a faithful steward. And so it is, we're reminded that there is a response that we must make. There is also a response that God will make. Notice once again in this parable, we see that there is a response that the Master has toward His servants. And so it is that there is going to be a response from Almighty God, from Christ Himself, someday when we see Him. See, one's response to Christ completely is so very important because it determines what his response will be. At the end of that parable, we see that there's a reference to weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a very difficult topic for us to explore and to see. We're reminded that the response of Almighty God to us in that day and time when this age ends is all about what we have done with Christ. See, ultimately, you can boil it down into two categories, really. You can boil it down to our response to Him and how He will respond to us in two categories. Have we received Christ, or have we rejected Christ? That's the bottom line. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. And so it is, as even was referenced, Doug did in his prayer, a mini sermon, if you might have noticed. It's all about what you have done with Christ and the gift of salvation. It is offered freely and available to all. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Right? And so that gift of salvation has been offered to all. For all who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Question: have you received the free gift of salvation by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And what that means is that when you stand before Almighty God someday and give an account of your life, God will see you through the lens of Jesus Christ and His righteousness. See, for the follower of Jesus Christ, He has given us the greatest resource and the gift of all. He has given us His righteousness. Jesus took our sin upon Himself and in our place. And it's the shed blood of Jesus Christ that pays for your sins and for my sins. And so, follower of Jesus Christ, you don't stand before Him with everything that you have done to earn salvation. Oh no, you stand before Him with Christ's righteousness. And He invites you into heaven, follower of Jesus Christ, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Grace, mercy of Almighty God, follower of Jesus Christ. In response, how are we living our life? How are we using our resources? I pray that you and I, as we end 2025, as we launch into 2026 soon, that we will live our resources responsibly, living for the Lord, for His honor, and for His glory. Good news, Father Jesus Christ, you're on your way to heaven. Question, will you be rewarded greatly for what you've done here on this earth during this time that He has given us? And so it is that you have a response to make to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but there's a reference to the rejection of Almighty God. As we have already talked about this morning, it is the gift of salvation, it's the gift of His Son, it's the greatest gift ever given. But He offers it to you and to me, and He gives the opportunity to receive it, but also to reject it. The Bible says, for those who reject the offer of salvation, that they will stand before the Lord someday in judgment. Ultimately, they stand before what is referred to as the great white throne of judgment. And that's not going to be a good day for those, because they stand before the God of the universe, who is holy, holy, holy. And they stand in front of Him in their sin. Oh, the offer for that sin to be forgiven and paid for and covered had been offered. But ultimately, what their response was affects their eternal destiny. Because the Bible says if one has not received the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they will stand in front of God in sin and will have to face the consequences of that sin. The Bible clearly says in the Word of God that after they stand before a holy and righteous God in their sin, never ever received that free gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, that they shall be judged in their sin, and they shall be cast into the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. That's a terrible place to be. It's created for Satan and the demonic forces. And you don't have to go there, but you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And as Scripture says, therefore, for the follower of Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation, there is no judgment to the follower of Jesus Christ. In other words, you'll stand before Him as a follower of Christ. All the works that weren't done for Him will be burned up. All the works that were done for Him will be rewarded. And He will say, enter into the joy of your reward. Be that person. Don't walk away from here receiving the message but not receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't walk away resisting the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart. Don't go away from here rejecting this offer of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. We're going to have the opportunity where you can respond to the Lord. First and most important response that one can make is to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That is the absolute essential thing that one must do. And so we're going to have offer of an invitation, an altar call, if you will, in which you will have the opportunity to place your faith in Jesus Christ if you've never done so. He's inviting you to Him today. Father of Jesus Christ, how may we respond? You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Him with your lives. We have a responsibility to use the resources God has given to us for His honor and for His glory. And as someday follow Jesus Christ, if we've lived for Him, we'll be rewarded. What a day that shall be when Christ Jesus we see. As the worship team comes, as we prepare for this time of invitation, let us pray. Father, we come before You, and certainly as we are coming to the end of another year and looking forward to another year, we're reminded that there's coming a day when there will be the end of this age. We'll go into eternity someday. Don't know when that will be, but You simply have tasked us with being ready and prepared to see You, to be prepared for Your return. For the Father of Jesus Christ, we pray, O Lord, that we'll live in light of that truth. And then, O Lord, if there's one who's never received Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, help them to see that now is the acceptable day of salvation. Help them to receive the free gift of salvation offered by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This we do pray. Bless this invitation. It's Your invitation. May the power of the Holy Spirit work in and through our lives and draw us to You. We do pray. In Jesus' name, amen.